Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful week.
I hope they did indeed.
Okay.
That's all.
That's it for that. We have Twitter followers.
Alrighty.
See if I can get these right this week.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Myra Zito.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Don't do that. That's my word.
Jinx. Bacula Lindsay.
Hopefully you're not butchering these names.
I probably am, but that's okay. Ethan Penn.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoying Godlessness.
Mm-hmm.
And Serger B.
Okay. Again, apologize in advance for butchering people's names.
Yeah. Or Serger. I don't know.
He just does the best he can.
I'm an old Southern guy, and I can't say words right.
Oh, please.
Anyway.
Yes.
I'm going to start us off with some good news.
All righty.
You remember Brewster County, Texas?
Not likely.
Okay. So a couple months ago, we talked about their sheriff cars.
Okay.
And not in God We Trust, by the way.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm tired.
Okay.
You were saying?
Not in God We Trust.
Okay.
A cross, though.
Like an actual cross symbol on their vehicle?
Yes, a big blue cross.
It's a lot more blunt than just in God We Trust.
That is true.
Yeah.
So,
uh-huh.
You're a little peaky.
You're peaky. Shut up and go.
Anyways.
Uh-huh.
The FFRF decided to sue them.
Oh, for the crosses?
Yes, for the crosses.
I think that's a good idea.
So, they decided to settle the case.
Oh, okay.
So, the FFRF got $14,000 in legal fees.
Okay.
And $1 went to each plaintiff. That's what they sued for. It wasn't about money. Never is.
Of course not.
But what it was about was getting the cross off the car.
Absolutely.
And creating a new policy which prohibits religious or political statements on any county vehicle.
And they won that?
Yeah, they won.
That's excellent, because that is definitely the bottom line.
Yeah, that's crossing the line. I mean, God We Trust
really?
Is right there.
Crossing the line? You're punning.
That was an unintentional pun.
Anyways.
But it was punny.
But no, oh, shut up. It's awesome that that went the way that it should.
Yes, it did.
And the fact that it,
well,
it, you know, it sets precedence for the next to come that they can't do that.
It was settled, so it doesn't really set
precedent. True. Good point.
But it also went too far. It should have never cost them $14,000 in legal fees. They should have stopped at the letter and said, oh, wait, this cross isn't right.
Oh, no. They thought, you know, no, we can win. We have the right to do this, blah, blah, blah. So they figured they had a shot.
Yeah, well, they were wrong.
Yeah, because apparently they can't read. But anyways, I'm glad to hear it went the way that it did.
Yes. And
mm-hmm.
We have an announcement.
Do we?
Yeah, we're having a rally.
You don't say.
Yes.
Because I haven't heard this one before.
Yeah, well, you should hear it every single week until the rally happens.
Uh-huh.
On June 29th at 11 a.m. in Olympia.
I was going to say, in Olympia at the Capitol.
Yes. We the People Rally, where we are joining some other Original Motto Project supporters.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some people for Lucky.
Now, where exactly at the Capitol is it?
East Plaza, North Lawn.
Thank you.
Right above the parking garage.
Above the parking
garage? Yeah, the parking garage is underground.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyways, we've got some speakers going there, too.
Uh-huh.
People you might recognize, some you don't. So, Sam Mulvey.
Mm-hmm.
Tarkus Claypool.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Adhope.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Seidenstecker.
Yep.
Some guy named Robert.
Don't know who he is.
Rebecca Friedman.
Uh-huh.
She decided to come on.
Oh, cool.
And Scott Bastian.
Excellent. It'll definitely be a very busy and very interesting day.
Right. And I'm actually hoping to get one or two more.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely going to be a full day then.
Yeah. So I asked, we're talking about shortening everybody down to like maybe 10 minutes instead of the 15-minute blocks I wanted.
Oh, uh-huh.
And that way we can cover more different and diverse viewpoints.
Right, and it makes it much more, you know, interesting, entertaining, keeps it fresh, listening to multiple people,
yeah.
You know.
So, in case you wonder why we're having a rally.
That might help.
Yeah. It turns out Franklin Graham is having one at the same time. His Decision America Tour is going on.
Decision America tour.
Yeah, where he is there to tell Christians to vote their Christian conscience.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he's telling them.
Seems like a waste of time.
So we're there to tell secular people to vote their secular conscience and vote for the one that actually makes sense, not the one that just says, I believe in God.
And that's it. And that's all it. Is well.
Yeah. Yep. So that's that.
Okay. Excellent.
So I got a fun story.
All right. Do you know?
Was King Tut a Goa'uld?
It's an interesting concept.
Well, everybody knows the movie. Well, Stargate. A lot of people know the movie Stargate. Not necessarily everybody. If you don't, you should.
Well, and not necessarily everyone has seen Stargate.
You should.
I liked it. Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool. I even liked the TV show. So
Anyway. King Tut's tomb housed hundreds of artifacts from golden masks to ornate statues. Among them was a ceremonial iron dagger on his right thigh. Normally, it's not really a big deal because it happens.
Right.
But it's what the dagger is made of that makes it interesting.
Okay.
Not only was the iron rare in this time because, one, they couldn't smelt it.
Oh, good point.
The dagger was also from outer space.
Was it now?
Yes, it was.
And how so?
Well, it contains high amount of nickel and cobalt, normally only seen in meteorites.
Okay.
Which makes the dagger extraterrestrial. Which begs the question, was Stargate right? Were the pharaohs just Goa'ulds?
Well, we can play this the fun version and say, sure.
Yeah.
Or we can play it the realistic version and say, maybe they happen to find a meteorite.
Yeah, as it turns out, no, they're not Goa'ulds.
Or is it's a meteor? I know they're two different ones. Meteors once it hits the ground.
Meteorites.
In the sky, not the scar.
In the sky. And meteorites are in the scar they leave on the ground.
But yeah, I mean, okay. Fun-wise, sure, we'll say that. But well, realistic-wise.
Realistically, at this time, the only way to get iron was through meteorites because they hadn't discovered smelting yet. They couldn't process iron.
Right.
So,
but that's a pretty wicked awesome find. Yeah. I mean, even today's standards, that would be cool to find, but let alone for back then.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously it was reserved for those of high standing.
Right.
Which King Tut was.
But the gold, how do you say that word?
Goa'uld.
Goa'uld. I can't do it. Goa'uld. Goa'uld.
So, is that...
It's okay, too hard
I can't
for
say
me.
Names, but I can say alien words.
Either way, that would be the fun version.
Yes, it would
be. We could go with that.
Sort of fun. They're kind of evil.
Yes.
Okay, next.
Yes, please.
Hitchens did not recant his atheism.
Surprise, surprise. How do you know that?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, okay.
Remember a few weeks ago we talked about the new book, Faith of Christopher Hitchens, Restless Soul, the World's Most Notorious Atheist, by Larry Alex Taunton.
Yes, the one that I said is total BS.
Yeah, well, in this book, he alleged Hitchens began to question his atheism and was, quote, teetering on the edge of belief.
Sure.
Well, the evidence is in.
Okay.
A blogger, Nick Cohen, wrote Alexander, the son of Hitchens, to ask what really happened. And here's what he said.
Okay.
I spent my father's final weeks and days at his bedside and watched him draw his final breath and die. And I can assure you that there was no hint of any sort of conversion, as I'm sure you've already guessed.
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad that, you know, we have this proof because it's pretty much what everyone already thought. And, you know, it kind of was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, he even said long before he even got sick.
Yes, I remember that. He clarified that.
Yeah, he said, it's not me if that ever happens.
Yeah.
But this book,
now there's proof. So. Yeah.
So this book is just more attempts by the Christian to recruit followers after the death of major figures.
And once again, lie.
Yeah. They did it to Darwin. They did it to Ingersoll.
Really?
And they did it to Sagan.
Now that I knew.
And now they're trying to do it to Hitchens.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah. These people always concoct a deathbed conversion, and they're just cowards who are trying to make up a story to bolster their side. Hoping no one will call them because the person they're talking about is dead.
Right, and they can't argue with them. Right. So they think one of these times doing it, they're going to get away with it is what they're hoping for. Yeah. But it's really sad that they stoop to that level. Yeah, you know, I mean, not only distasteful, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
Another thing that, you know, it's no wonder more and more people are becoming non-believers. They keep piling this kind of crap on.
Right.
Anyways.
Speaking of religion of famous people,
okay.
I think we're going to take and move into Yak from the Past right now.
Are we now?
Yes, because Tom has something cool.
Okay.
And we're back with Yak from the Past with Tom.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
How are you?
I am good. Ish.
Ish. Hanging in.
Just doing what I do. So last week we announced the new name, which was obviously Yak from the Past.
And I told everyone that I forgot who submitted it. Now I know because he contacted me. And it is Marshall LaFleur. LaFleur, yeah.
LaFleur or LaFleur?
LaFleur, with an F. I can't say it. I don't know what's wrong with me.
LaFleur, like flower?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. As in the flower, yeah.
Oh, well, merci, Marshall.
And there we go.
Yes. And so I'll just dive into it. We're going to talk about Abraham Lincoln and religion today.
Ooh, I like Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, he's an all right dude, I guess. But first, something I'm going to do at the beginning of each segment. I'm just going to do like a little book recommendation. I read a lot, so I have tons and tons and tons of history books. So I'm just going to throw out my favorite ones and recommend them to people. So okay. For people who are interested in the idea of America founded as a Christian nation or the kind of religious context of the founding of America, if that's your thing, I really highly recommend the book Was America Founded as a Christian Nation by historian John Fee. And it covers the religious influence on the revolution, and it does it in a really even-handed way that's not pro-religion, not anti-religion. It just deals with it from a historical perspective. And really useful is the introduction, which is entitled How to Think Historically, which kind of separates political identity thinking from historical thinking. So that's a really good book. So Was America Founded as a Christian Nation is my book recommendation of the week.
Cool. That sounds great. We'll put a link up on the show notes.
Yes, it's an excellent book. So, as I'm sure the listeners are aware, Reason Rally was last weekend, and it was held at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. And so that kind of gave me the idea to look at Lincoln's religious beliefs and see what I could find there. I'm actually not too familiar with Lincoln and all that. It's kind of outside my expertise, so to speak.
Okay.
So, firstly, what I found was Lincoln was without a doubt a believer in God.
Well, there are many people that would refute you on that.
Well, they're wrong. And then, not in some vague, non-interventionist, deistic God, but a God that actively participated in the affairs of humans. So throughout his life and public career, Lincoln made many references to providence and divine will. It was one of his favorite things. He had a lot of religious expressions in his public speeches. In 1858, he wrote, quote, "Certainly there is no contending against the will of God, but still there is some difficulty in ascertaining and applying it to particular cases. To Lincoln, God had a hand and a purpose in all events, but what those purposes were was often beyond the ability of people to understand."
Okay.
So this was the sentiment held by Lincoln when he wrote at the beginning of the Civil War that, quote, "In great contests, each party claims to be acting in accordance with the will of God. Both may be and one must be wrong. In the present Civil War, it is quite possible that God's purpose is something different from the purposes of either party." So Lincoln's God was a God that caused and had a hand in events, but the reasons why were beyond human comprehension. That's kind of the God he believed in.
Well, wasn't that common to the common God of the time anyway?
That was a very common, yeah, religious belief. So it's kind of a vaguely Christian concept, providence, shared by many people at the time. However, Lincoln's particular religious beliefs weren't always evident, and sometimes they could be a little bit controversial. So though he certainly believed in a providential God of some kind, he actually never officially joined any Christian church.
Okay, is that where we get that quote, Christianity is not my profession? I don't know the exact quote.
It may actually be coming up because I have one.
Okay, okay. That's possible. Don't mean to jump ahead, but
yeah. You're fine. So in 1846, when Lincoln was running for Illinois' 7th congressional district, can't talk today, he was accused of being, quote, "an open scoffer at Christianity," a charge he responded to in a handbill from July of that year. And in it he wrote, "That I am not a member of any Christian church is true, but I have never denied the truth of the scriptures, and I have never spoken with intentional disrespect of religion in general or of any denomination of Christians in particular." And he added, "I do not think I could myself be brought to support a man for office whom I knew to be an open enemy of and scoffer at religion. Leaving the matter of eternal consequences between him and his maker, I still do not think any man has the right thus to insult the feelings and injure the morals of the community in which he may live.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I was it last week or the week before when I talked about the Protestant privilege and Christianity being viewed as a kind of the bedrock of civil society. You kind of see that there in that remark.
Right.
Where he's talking about insulting the community.
Right.
Now, how much of this were his true personal feelings and how much of this was him trying to be elected is difficult to say. Always keep in mind that Abraham Lincoln was also a lawyer. So take from that what you will.
Yeah.
But it is kind of in line with general mainstream thinking of the day. So what really matters beyond Lincoln's personal beliefs were how those beliefs affected his office. So did he try to use his powers as president to push a religious agenda? Now, as far as laws, there don't seem to be any particular laws passed by Lincoln that suggest a religious agenda of any kind. However, it should be remembered that for his entire presidency, Lincoln was a bit distracted by the Civil War.
That is true.
That could explain why. I went through, there's a really great resource called the American Presidency Project that's done by the University of California, Santa Barbara. And it's all kinds of primary source documents going all the way back to Washington. And I went through all of, or most of, Lincoln's presidential decrees and proclamations. And almost none of them have anything to do with religion. Most of them have to do with matters concerning the Civil War.
Well, that's fully understandable then.
Yeah, so it's understandable. He was a busy man.
Yeah.
With that. Now, during the war, he issued multiple declarations of public thanksgiving, fasting, prayer, and humiliation, which was fairly common, but he issued multiple ones per year instead of just the kind of standard one per year that most presidents issued, especially if there was a Union victory, he would issue one. Or if there was a Union defeat, he would issue one. He also issued an executive order in 1862 requiring, quote, the orderly observance of the Sabbath by the officers and men in the military and naval service. And the order stated that the importance for man and beast of the prescribed weekly rest, the sacred rights of Christian soldiers and sailors, a becoming deference to the best sentiments of a Christian people, and a due regard for the divine will demand that Sunday labor in the army and navy be reduced to the measure of strict necessity.
Interesting. That's,
yeah, it's kind of interesting. He was concerned with essentially keeping the Sabbath holy. But then again, how much of that was his concern with religious matters or keeping order in the army is up for debate. It's really difficult to tell with Lincoln.
Right. I tend to go with the latter, given some of the rest of his stuff.
Yeah, I kind of lean toward that as well. In general, Lincoln's private religious beliefs were just that. They were private.
Which is how they should be.
Yeah. So though he did use religious language in many of his speeches and correspondence, he didn't really do so any more than was typical for mid-19th century Americans.
Well, I think he may have used possibly less than what we have now. I mean, yeah. I haven't fully studied it, but...
Yeah. No, if you compare it to today, it's quite a bit.
Okay.
He quotes scripture often and Bible stories and things like that, but that's pretty typical for, you know, the 1850s.
Right. Well, it also made sense because the Bible would have been the most well-known resource for...
Exactly. Absolutely.
For that sort of stuff, yeah.
Lincoln was, in terms of religious, he was pretty normal.
Okay.
He certainly didn't pursue anything resembling a religious agenda in office. Lincoln was an extremely secular president when it came to policy, though perhaps not as secular as others like Madison or Jefferson.
Right.
But Madison and Jefferson are kind of on the extreme end there. They're kind of outliers for their time more than anything. Some of this was probably due to the fact that he was busy with the Civil War, like I mentioned.
Right.
So it's difficult to say how a Lincoln presidency without the interruption of that war would have looked like. But in general, that's President Lincoln and his religion, religious beliefs, and how he practiced his religion using his office.
Interesting. Now, I do have a question that you may know.
Okay. I will do my best.
In the original Gettysburg Address,
mm-hmm.
did he mention under God at the end?
I actually happen to have the Gettysburg Address right in front of me.
Well, how convenient.
It is. Actually, it's totally unplanned. Let's see. Page one. I have a small collection of Lincoln's writing, so let me get to it. So does he mention under God at the end?
I don't know the exact quoting, but...
He does. Let's see, where's it start? It says, it is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Right.
So, yes, now, he does mention under. And fun little side note, the Gettysburg Address was given on November 19th, which is my mom's birthday.
Interesting. Now, as an addition to that, I did some research on that myself once. Mm-hmm. And my research told me that the original written one did not have, or the original spoken one did not have it.
Ooh, that's possible. I, like I said, Lincoln's not really my kind of forte, but
right.
It's possible. That sounds unlikely to me.
Okay.
That sounds like atheist propaganda to me.
It very well may be, but I wanted to go through it, and maybe one of our listeners could inform us.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know too much, so maybe somebody knows more than me. I also happen to have a reproduction of the Gettysburg Address in Lincoln's hand. It's actually hanging on my wall. Let me see. One second. Mm-hmm. I have it framed here. Let's see if it says it in there. Yeah, it has it in here too.
Okay. That was just something that I wanted to clarify because I'd heard that before.
Yeah, it would be, I don't know how they would prove that it wasn't unless people spoke out afterwards. Because it was pretty typical for politicians' speeches to be published afterward.
Right.
So unless somebody who was there at Gettysburg was like, no, that's not what he said. So it's possible, but it sounds unlikely to me.
Okay. Just wanted to clear the air on that one because, like I said.
But if somebody knows something I don't, please call in and leave a message because I'd be interested to find out about that.
Well, that would be great fun.
Yes. And I don't know what I'm going to do next week. I'll think of something cool.
All right. Always cool. Yes. And as usual, very enlightening.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Hi there. This is Matthew the Apostle. Have you been wondering if it was your local pastor that ran away with the church's money and the deacon's wife? Do you just want to know if it was your rabbi that was arrested for planting a spy camera in the women's bathhouse? Has it ever crossed your mind that it might just be your archbishop that was arrested for fondling children in his care? Or do you just want to know more about the Southern Baptist pastor who was arrested for seeking a little canine carnal companionship? If you've answered yes to any of these questions, you need to listen to In the Name of God, the podcast, your weekly roundup of the most bizarre and hypocritical actions of the people who claim to live the pure and pious life as dictated by their God. In the Name of God, the podcast, the religious news from the Atheist Apostle, a proud member of the Secular Outreach Network, on the web at secularoutreach.com.
So we're going to move on to our next story.
Okay.
Christian pastor says the only atheists in the world live in America and Europe.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
A Christian pastor who works with young people is passionate about spreading God's truth and truth in general. According to his website, Pastor Phil Vander Ploeg.
Yeah, okay.
His passion is teaching the Bible as absolute truth.
Oh, so is he an absolute Bibleist, meaning he follows it word for word?
Yeah. That's so I have some audio.
Do you?
Yes.
God has revealed himself far more than some people want to acknowledge. It is obvious. It's obvious. The only atheists in the world live in America and Europe, right? Everyone else knows there's a God, but we've developed a worldview in the West that justifies our actions.
Yeah, you heard that right.
It's a small world after all.
Yeah, only, apparently,
America and Europe.
America and Europe have atheists.
The Western.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's talking Australia too.
God.
Because he said the Western world, right?
Talk about a small mind.
Yeah, very small.
That's just so ignorant.
So on a hunch, I thought there might be other atheists in different parts of the world.
Oh, did you now?
Yes, I did. So I did a little
That's
research.
That's just crazy thinking.
Aside from the obvious, China.
No.
Yeah, which is like almost entirely atheist.
No.
Because the atheist regime there.
You're totally lying.
I know. Well,
It is interesting because a lot of times when people talk atheism in China, it's not the same atheism we talk about here.
Yeah.
Because they see parts of their culture as religious.
Uh-huh.
So it's really, really different there. So the polls are a little off.
Uh-huh.
But they are definitely an atheist nation. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the rest of the world, roughly 13% of the world's population is atheist, who identify as atheist.
Oh, it's just America and Europe.
Well, they're not 13% of the world.
Sure we are.
So I decided to look at other places in Asia.
Okay.
Okay. So numbers range from 3% in India to 81% in Vietnam.
Wow.
With Japan falling in around 65% atheist.
Wow.
So, yeah, already he's wrong.
He's not even close to wrong. He is so far off.
Yeah, incredibly far
off. And like I said, very small-minded.
Yes. So
ignorant.
Then I decided, well, what about Africa? They're a very religious continent.
Yeah, I was thinking about Africa.
Numbers there are a bit harder to work out.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, with China, a lot of their religion is based on culture, not necessarily deities.
Right.
But I did find a number of atheist groups.
Oh, did you know? Yeah.
The Atheist Movement of South Africa, Atheism Africa, and CFI Kenya recently opened the Humanist Orphan Center.
Cool.
So, yeah, there are atheists in Africa.
Which means, hey, guess what? There's atheists all over the planet.
Yes, there are.
We're taking over the world.
Even in Kenya, I think, had like a 1%.
Yeah.
So, and Kenya is like super, super evangelical.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
But
he's absolutely wrong.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And you hear it time and time again.
Okay, I don't think he's wrong. I think he's lying. But that's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. You never know. Is it the small mind or is it just a big fat lie?
I think it's a big fat lie because he knows better.
So you think.
Anyway, I think we'll move on.
Please.
And we have another Potter Award winner.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Judge William Mallory.
Okay.
So he enjoys handing out creative sentences from his bench over at the Hamilton County Courthouse.
Creative?
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah.
In 2006, Brett Haynes was convicted of disorderly conduct. He threatened and verbally assaulted a cab driver, using all manner of racial slurs. He also apparently declared that he hated black people.
Okay.
So the judge gave him a choice, 30 days in jail or 6 weeks of Sunday worship at the predominantly black church.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't force someone to go to any church of any kind.
Oh, I agree with that. But guess which one he went for?
Oh, I can imagine.
Here's a quote from Mallory. It seems readily apparent to me that you don't like black people. That's okay with me. But you have to understand that you are at the whim and authority of a black judge. So that seems a bit racist.
Yeah.
And that's when Mallory offered churches an alternative sentence, an option he said might broaden Haynes' cultural awareness, which is possible.
No, I agree with that, but the fact still remains you cannot force anyone in this country to go to any church, you know, whatever kind of thing.
Right. He said, if you want to get out of jail, you're going to have to raise your black consciousness.
You also can't do that. As much as you want to take people and shake them and say enough with the freaking racism.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, so again, thinking he is above the actual laws and rules of what you can and cannot do.
So Mallory said he was concerned about maintaining separation of church and state. Duh.
You think? Obviously, he knows it's wrong if that's already stated.
So he asked Haynes if whether the option would offend his beliefs. Haynes said he was not a churchgoer, but would like to give it a try.
Yeah, duh. It keeps him out of jail. That's a no-brainer.
So, yeah, it's pushing his religion onto someone else as a punishment from the bench.
Well, and you could look at it from the other standpoint, too. The church that has him come and sit in with them, you know, is he going to be sitting there nicely, or is he going to be disruptive? And, you know, it's on the church who takes him in that, you know, has to also kind of go with this punishment as well.
Right.
You know, it's not just him. But either way, it doesn't matter. You can't do that. That's like taking, you know, some kid who does something wrong and stupid and saying, well, we're going to fix you and you have to go to church.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, that's my ruling. I don't think so.
Well, in May of 2016, Jake Strautman appeared before Judge Mallory, on an assault charge stemming from an altercation with a group of street preachers. Stropman was caught up in the altercation by accident, knocked over, and he injured one of the preachers while trying to get up. He accidentally put his hand in his face and cut, the guy wore glasses and he cut his face.
So he was basically just someone standing around with the crowd kind of thing?
Yeah, he was with the crowd that was talking to
that was preachers. Doing all the stuff, yeah.
Right, so he got caught up in an altercation that he didn't intend to get into.
Right.
He ended up on the bottom, and it was a big old mess.
Right.
So, during the sentencing phase, well, he pled guilty, by the way.
To get a lesser sentence.
Yeah, so the sentencing phase, during the sentencing phase, its judge said, the thing about religion, I think it's kind of personal, and for me, I don't try to impose my religious views on other people, except sometimes in this room.
He seems to do that often.
Yeah. That's when Stropman said, Your Honor, if I may, I would be happy to serve a church of your choosing.
Really?
Yes. That seems odd. That seems like an odd statement to me.
I don't know. I just got a vision of like some movie or cartoon or something. And, you know, you're standing in front of the Wizard of Oz. And
but who says that in court?
That's bizarre.
That's not your normal plea bargain.
Well, obviously he knows this judge's history.
Maybe. Maybe the
And he figures I'd rather do that than to go to jail.
That's just the oddest request. Can I go to church instead of jail? What? No, you can't go to church.
Well, that's
instead
like
of
when
jail.
Your kid gets in trouble and they ask, well, can I do this instead of that?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Well, Mallory was still thrilled by this suggestion as he loves giving out church service for punishment. That seems weird though. Church service or punishment?
Well,
yeah,
it doesn't say. Well, yeah, but that doesn't say much about, you know, his idea of church.
He asked the preacher, the plaintiff in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So for his penance, what if I make him go to your church a number of Sunday services? Penance. Penance is
okay. That's a punishment.
That's a religious punishment.
Yeah, thank you. A religious punishment.
It's not a civil or criminal punishment. It's a religious punishment.
They're treating this as if this is church. And in my experience, Catholic Church, and they're going to the priest and asking for what punishment do they need to do for their confessions they just gave.
Right.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Anyway, now he has to serve his time in church pews for 12 weeks, an entire 18 hours of penance.
This is ridiculous. Sounds like kangaroo court.
Yeah.
I mean,
what makes the sentence so bad is that Strothman is a Catholic and he's sentenced to spend all that time in a Baptist church.
It's all ridiculous.
So this judge has this incredible habit of making church.
And everybody knows it.
Right.
That's your get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll go to church, no problem.
I mean, seriously, what sort of punishment is that?
I mean, that's just stupid.
I think even I would elect to go to church for 12
weeks. Well,
that's
what I'm sitting here thinking. I was just about to say, I'm like, yeah, sure, not a problem. All I got to do is sit on a bench and listen to you mumble on.
Yeah.
No skin off my back.
Anyway.
And you don't have to go to jail and get fingerprints and, you know, all that other crap and no record. And
well, you still have a record.
Yeah, but you don't have a jail record. Yeah. You just went to church.
You have a church record. There you go.
Yeah, sure. We'll take church.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's absurd. And it doesn't say much about church.
No.
That's how I see it. That if he's using church as a punishment, that says a lot.
Yeah, it does. Well, that's all the yakking I've got for you tonight.
And I am done as well.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Adios.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakin.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
This show is a member of the Secular Outreach Network, an affiliation of Secular Media Producers. Learn more at secularoutreach.com.